B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A woman in Australia needed 25 stitches to her face and almost lost an eye because she was mauled by a kangaroo while walking her dog.
Of course. Of course.
The attack happened near a popular walking trail. Dina let her pet dog off its leash and it began chasing a large male kangaroo, prompting her to try and intervene. She said, "I ran up the embankment to try and get my dog away, but not realizing that I was only 3 or 4 meters behind the roo. And that's when I sensed the roo was panicking and thinking I'm being attacked on all sides. She turned around right as the kangaroo attacked her from behind, knocking her to the ground. He then gouged out the back of my leg," she said. "I know now if I hadn't turned around, I would probably have been disemboweled."
They do have sharp claws or their
nails.
Nails, whatever they are.
"The kangaroo began pounding and jumping on her," she said. "She played dead and told herself to just wait until it's over, and it eventually worked, and the kangaroo left her with blood gushing from her head."
You see, those things are perpetually kicking the crap out of tourists and rearing up, and people think they're so
big.
Pleasant, but they're not.
They're powerful. Passersby then helped her tend to her wounds and took her to the hospital. Dina needed...
It is kicked by a kangaroo.
She needed 25 stitches to her face. And said that she was just grateful that her eye hadn't been gouged out. Mm. She had to undergo surgery for her leg wounds and was released from the hospital.
Who wouldn't want to live there?
But she still has scratches and cuts all over her back and arms, but she added that she didn't blame the kangaroo because her dog had chased it, causing the attack. Wildlife staff and city authorities said kangaroos are like venturing closer, likely venturing closer to human residential areas because of lack of food and water in the hot, dry summer.
Do you see the face? Her face?
Yeah.
It's messed up,
it
man.
Is messed up.
So where does the scar run across?
All across the around her eye. Unfortunately, like Preston said, fortunately, it didn't get the eyeball itself, just around it.
Jeez.
Well, there's some interesting video. A driver hit the remote start on his car, and then suddenly it started taking off. It ran into a pond as well. It happened on Saturday in New Hudson.
Was it in gear?
Well, here's the deal. This is Fred Stanton, who is the range master at Huron Valley Guns, where it happened. He said he made sure no one was in the way of the vehicle. He yelled out. He also had valuables in the cases, so he recovered them and then ran in to get help. By the time deputies arrived, the car had sank quickly, by the way. By the time deputies arrived, it was under 7 feet of water.
Jeez.
He's grateful no one was in the front of the car when this happened outside of the business where he works. He said this happened to be a manual transmission with an aftermarket remote start. Auto manufacturers do not allow the installation of remote starters on manual vehicles. Well, the reason is if you park your car in gear, as many manual transmission drivers do, that's what can happen.
Can you get your remote start set up to have it drive away automatically?
Maybe. Right. I don't know.
That's an extra feature.
There are shops that will put remote starters on manual vehicles, but they'll make the owner sign a waiver. But the problem was, in this case, the person had just bought the used car and apparently had no warning until the car was underwater. So you have to be careful. An Iranian man is seeking asylum in Australia. He had botched his do-it-yourself penis enlargement procedure.
Yeah.
And was granted entry to undergo pricey reconstructive surgery on
How difficult can it be? How difficult can that be?
The man in his 30s tried to...
I want 9 extra inches.
Tried to grow his member by injecting himself with palm oil.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then he fell seriously ill. He was transferred...
Damn it, I'm watching the YouTube video.
...from an immigration detention center in Papua New Guinea to Australia last month for medical treatment that could cost up to $10,000. The transfer was made possible under Australia's controversial 2019 Medevac laws, which gives doctors a greater say as to which sick refugees can come into the country from offshore detention centers for medical treatment. In this case, the man was reportedly involved in nearly 50 behavioral incidents while being detained in Papua New Guinea, but apparently injecting his own penis was the one that allowed him to get into the
country. That gets you refugee status? Trying to get a penis enlargement?
In that particular case, yeah. All right, how about this? PG&E Corporation says that it has found suspicious monetary claims by victims of California's wildfires, including one from a man who says a 500-pound emerald worth $280 million was destroyed at his home a year ago in the most destructive and deadliest wildfire in state history.
That's a shame. A 500-pound emerald.
Yep. The utility is probing duplicate or exceptionally large monetary claims which appear suspicious. PG&E, which filed for bankruptcy in the face of liability over the wildfires, wants to question the owner of the emerald, who says it was destroyed in the 2018 campfire that killed 86 people and razed the town of paradise.
My trillion-dollar Wizard of Oz plate was destroyed.
PG&E's equipment was found to have contributed to the blaze. In addition to seeking reimbursement for the emerald, the man and his wife submitted four duplicate claims of $4.5 million.
That's got to be a really difficult thing as people put in all their requests and submit forms and stuff like that. You got to go through all of them, and people are going to take the opportunity to try to get some extra money.
PG&E wants victims' documents such as appraisal reports and receipts to support some claims. With respect to the claim of the $280 million emerald, the company wants proof that the owner made an effort to secure and protect the emerald and documents showing that the emerald was damaged or destroyed. So,
not for nothing, but wouldn't an emerald survive a fire?
I would think so. I don't know.
Well, he had a bungee cord on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not really sure.
So it shouldn't have it shouldn't have been damaged.
And then finally, we'll end with another Australian story. A Sydney hoarder was trapped for over 14 hours when the trash inside her home fell on top of her. Fire and rescue crews were forced to break through a side window to gain access to the house, almost getting crushed themselves by the masses of garbage from floor to ceiling.
This happens fairly often to hoarders. They get trapped under their own garbage.
Her husband, who sleeps in his car outside due to the mess, raised the alarm when he couldn't get a hold of his wife on her cell phone.
Is she dead yet?
she had been stuck for hours before help came. And this presented a serious challenge to the occupant's health, and the rescue was quite difficult at the time, the fire department said.
He probably knew like an hour after it collapsed, but waited another 13 and a half hours to call.
Yeah. The situation was so extreme, firefighters used the same earthquake training used while searching for survivors in New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
Among the garbage dug through with magazines from the 80s and food that expired in the 1990s, by the way.
Oh, my God. There must have been vermin and all sorts of other stuff in there as well.
The woman is receiving treatment in the hospital for with her husband by her side. I watch that show Hoarders all the time. It's pretty wild, man. You can't believe that people let their lives come to that.
I pass a place on Ridge, and I look up. It's on the second floor, and I see stuff stacked up on the windows. And I'm wondering if it just happens to be that they have some stuff stacked in front of that window, or if the entire place is like that.
Right.
Because it doesn't look like, these are collect. It looks like garbage stacked in front of the window.
That's like a nightmare
for
me. Yeah, it's pretty wild if you ever watch that show. There are some mental things that they can't get past, and they use these as a mechanism of some sort of coping mechanism.
Oh, they can't. They can't. There's something, and quite often, the general explanation is they feel like something bad will happen to them if they get rid of it, right?
Something like that. It's different in some cases.
I think it is different. I know. So I've been in two hoarders' houses. One, they didn't have much money, so anything they got, they wanted to keep. But then it ended up filling the entire house. I mean, there was like a kitchen table in a bedroom. There was, like five dressers. And there was two people that lived there.
It's crazy.
And then I was in another house. This was when I was back in high school. And they, for whatever reason, the woman kept magazines and newspapers. Like every magazine ever delivered, every newspaper, that they were stacked. Everywhere you looked, there was magazines in the oven. So they couldn't use their oven. Their entire oven was stacked. And you couldn't even take anything out. So even if you were like, look, I don't know if she was looking for something, you couldn't. They were so shoved in there that it couldn't move.
It made their holiday parties a real nightmare.
I bet.
It's always newspapers and magazines,
too.
Yeah,
what is that?
Like, haven't they ever heard of microfiche? You know?
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A suspect jumped from a second floor window of a police station while still handcuffed to a radiator.
Whoops.
Yeah. But he had ripped it out of the wall, and he's jumping with it.
With the radiator.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Shows a man who's not been named land on top of a red car before running away, clutching the heater as a policeman looked on from the upstairs window.
Like a full wall unit?
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, and it was filmed in Russia's second biggest city, St. Petersburg, on a smartphone. The video shows the detainee step onto the window ledge before jumping while clutching a radiator. He lands on a red car below the window with a thud, and he landed pretty well. I mean, he landed on his feet, and then he slipped and and stumbled over, but I was surprised at how good of an escape it was, considering the dude was holding on to a radiator.
What do you imagine the weight on that thing is?
I don't know. And officers looked down on him, and apparently it's unclear why the man had been taken to the police station and whether he was recaptured by the authorities. It's believed the man had detached the radiator that he was handcuffed to from the wall before making his escape. The clip was uploaded onto Russian social media.
That's a bold move.
Yep, totally. In Georgia, investigation revealed chaos in the cafeteria at Cedar Grove High School on Thursday. Apparently, it was all caught on camera. Tia Watkins, the school police, said school police injured her son's arm trying to restrain him in the altercation. Plus, she said her daughter was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct for checking on her brother. The food fight, apparently it was a food fight, started over comments made about chicken wings and ranch dressing.
Oh, man.
Between a cafeteria worker and a student. So it, for some reason, it started. There was a person actually working there. It wasn't two students. It was a cafeteria worker and students took issue with something said about chicken wings and ranch dressing.
This is excessively brutal.
It is, yes. The student and worker were arrested. School district said the Office of Legal Affairs is now investigating the incident. The cafeteria worker, was arrested and charged with affray and disorderly conduct.
It's a kerfuffle. A fray is a lighter kerfuffle.
Yeah. A mother in Kingwood, Texas, was stunned to find a note in her 5-year-old child's lunchbox that told her to put her child on a diet.
Wow.
Listen to this. Francesca, the child's mother, put a note to the daycare worker in her child's lunchbox. The note said, "Please tell my son that his mommy loves him so much and that I'm thinking about him." Francesca said when she got the lunchbox back, someone had written on the note, "No, put him on a diet and go away."
What?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Harsh. Stop that.
It took a minute to register, she said, "what I even saw, and I just kept rereading it, and I just stood there for a minute." She said she had never had a problem with the Rocking Horse Daycare until this incident. A director at the Rocking Horse Daycare said that he was sorry for the incident and the employee who wrote the comment was terminated. So they actually did write it. And
that's not the way you send that that message home.
Exactly.
You do an anonymous email.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on. Yeah. Burner account.
Following his arrest for possession of a hypodermic needle containing methamphetamine, listen to this. This is my favorite story of the day.
All right.
A 380-pound Florida man was hit with additional felony charges after jail personnel discovered a bag of meth wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the defendant.
How effing disgusting.
He was stashing drugs in his belly button.
That obese that you could stash it in your navel.
Exactly. Police responding late Friday to a to a suspicious person. A call placed by an employee of a McDonald's in Clearwater arrested Martin Skelly when a search of the 41-year-old turned up the loaded needle. Following Skelly's collar for possession of narcotics and drug paraphernalia, cops asked him if he was in possession of any other contraband, since he could face additional charges if he brought illegal items into the county jail.
Wow.
Skelly denied having any additional contraband on his person. However, during intake processing at the jail, Skelly was subjected to a thorough body search that resulted in the discovery of a plastic bag containing 2.7 grams of meth. A jail deputy reported that the baggie was, quote, wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the 5'8" defendant. Remember, he's 380 pounds.
380 pounds, 5'8".
Yeah.
And you said 2 ounces of meth?
No, it's 2 grams.
2 grams of 2. Meth.
2.7 grams of meth.
Jeez.
After the stash was found, Skelly reportedly told the investigator, "I was just being dumb and not thinking." The discovery of the hidden meth.
There's a sandwich in there, too.
resulted in 2 additional felony charges being filed against Skelly, introducing contraband into a correctional facility and narcotics possession. His criminal record includes a 3-year stretch in state prison for cocaine trafficking and busts for theft, drunk driving, narcotics possession, violating probation, and possession of drug paraphernalia.
I think it's time for some self-assessment.
I would think so. I'm going to do one more story, and we will wrap this up. Let's go with this. The city of Loveland, Colorado, agreed to pay a woman $50,000 and drop all charges against her after she was accused of indecent exposure for playing Frisbee topless in her front yard.
Okay.
Attorney David Lane said his client, 20-year-old Effie Krokos, received a ticket after playing Frisbee in her yard with her husband. Her breasts were exposed. In February of 2019, the 10th Circuit of Appeals decided a case called Free the Nipple versus City of Fort Collins.
There you go.
The court found it's legal for women to appear topless in any place, that it would be legal for a man to appear topless.
Where's the inspiring Disney movie about this?
Ms. Krokos read about this case in the media, and when she saw her husband had removed his shirt, she did the same.
Blow the lid off the joint!
Scandalized neighbors called the police, and an officer came out and issued her a summons. The officer reportedly told Krokos that Fort Collins' case was a rumor and that it did not apply to Loveland. It was legit. It was real.
Yeah.
If convicted, she may have had to register as a sex offender, and she was under a great deal of stress as a result. But the $50,000 settlement is the first damage claim to paid to a woman wrongfully charged of being topless in the United States.
Do we know if this is the woman we would all want to see topless?
It seldom is. Yeah. But listen, I think ultimately this is going to be the norm. It's hard to make a case against her having her freedom to do that.
Case, it all depends on what you're into.
You
find some interesting ladies attractive, so
chances are I'd want to see your topless.
It's possible.
Casey, this is Bertha next door. I'm going to do topless frisbee. I know you like it.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.